Y'all, I was supposed to be here on May 3rd, but due to my little daughter, I adopted a little girl. Her adoption papers weren't approved, so we have to leave the country by May 10th. And May 3rd will be our last Sunday at our home church in Goodrich, Michigan, where my wife got saved. So I asked Pastor Andrew just last Thursday, so it's just short notice. And I really appreciate the accommodation for me to be here. Like what Pastor Stanza said, this church has been supporting us since 1992. I mean, this church has been very faithful to my family and I. I mean, I just graduated from Bible College in 1992, and only five churches took me on back then. And this is one of the first ones, amen. Even my sending church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, didn't support me because I wasn't married yet. So I got married in 1993, and a lot more churches supported me after that. But you're part of our ministry there. I mean, 15 churches were started directly because of our Bible Institute. And then another 7 churches were started because we moved our curriculum to another pastor that started a ministry in another island. So another 7 men were ordained from there. So 22 churches so far that were started because of y'all's partnership with us. And we also have a Bible Institute now because one of our graduates took the Bible Institute curriculum to Ushuaia, Argentina. Ushuaia is the farthest city south of Argentina before you get to the South Pole. So it's like the farthest city in the Southern Hemisphere. It's the closest to the South Pole. But there's a mission over there, Iglesia Bautista de Consolar. And they have their own Bible Institute. There's 3 men training right now for the ministry. We still have a Bible Institute going with 12 men that we're training. 6 of those men are from our own church and then other churches that we have. I pastored the Calvary Baptist Church for 22 years. And then in 2019, because of our orphanage, we saw that there's a big need for another church because that village where orphanage is at is like 10,000 people, but there's no gospel witness. So I resigned our big church at Calvary. They were running 400 at that time. Now they're running about 500 now, amen. So the new pastor's doing a better job than me, amen. So we're just running 120 with our new church there at Hope Baptist Church. So I'll have a visual report. I mean, the Bible does say in Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 51, mine eye affected my heart because of the daughters of my city. And you'll see the ministry there. Pick up a prayer card. I pray that you can visit us. We have accommodations for 16 people if you want to visit us. And the prices right now are very cheap. Like flying out of Detroit, it's $900 round trip. And flying out of Chicago is cheaper, $800 flying out of Chicago. And you don't need a visa in the Philippines. Remember, the Philippines used to be U.S. territory until 1946. So Americans can come. If they want to stay more than 30 days, then you buy a visa that will extend another 2 months for $60. But all you need is a U.S. passport. You can come and visit us. We'll show you the ministry there. We can arrange that. I hope you can send Pastor Andrew and Sister Jacqueline. Amen. He's one of my heroes, and I don't say this lightly. He's a man of God that showed me the reason for discipleship. And I really believe God called us to make disciples. Amen. And it says that there in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 19, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded thee. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I believe verse 20 is contingent upon verse 19. I mean, it hinges on verse 19. I'm lo, I'm with you always. Because why? Because you're making disciples. And really, this is a testament to that. I mean, last time I was here is 2017 at your old church. And now I can see what God is doing because of discipleship. And that's what we do in the Philippines too. And I hope you can loan us Pastor Andrew and his wife, Jacqueline, amen, for a discipleship revival and then our anniversary in November. Amen. So thank you very much. We'll show a short video.
Ten years ago, Baha'i Sibyl began as a small seed of faith where children in crisis could find hope, healing, and a home. Guided by God's grace and help from all of you, that seed has flourished into a thriving family. So in the last 10 years, we have catered to 74 children. 74 children have become part of our family. 32 of those have been returned to their families to safe, loving homes through kinship care. Four of those are currently in the foster care program, living in loving foster care families that are licensed under the DSWD. And we have been honored and blessed to process 15 children for adoption. Every hug, every smile, every goodbye toward a forever family is a victory worth celebrating. 2015, we opened the first house and began accepting children. And it was very obvious right from the beginning that we were going to outgrow the house quickly. And so we started immediately raising support to build the second house. We managed with those two houses for a couple of years before we began work on the what we refer to as the multi-purpose building. In this multi-purpose building, we have our Hope Education. We also have there our church, which is Hope Baptist Church. We have a guest area where we welcome our adoptive families to come and stay while they familiarize themselves with their children and bond with their children. We also added the director's residence in this building. It's actually the administrative building. So we have the offices there, the counseling area. The kids gather there for birthday parties, special events. And then the director's family live in the upstairs part as their residence. Upon seeing the land, we knew that there were a lot of opportunities for the land to be very self-sustaining. It was a rice field to begin with. So we intentionally set aside a large part of the area that would remain a rice field in order to sustain the needs of the children's home. We have our own gardening. We raise chickens for food, for eggs, and we also raise native pigs. Recently, we were able to dig a very deep well with a water tank and pump system and filtration. So the entire campus is providing for its own water. And we look forward to soon putting in solar panels for each of the buildings so that we also don't have to worry about electrical costs. When when we envisioned Baha'i Siebel, we envisioned preparing children to go back to their homes or to be adopted. We never really considered the aspect that some children would grow up at Baha'i Siebel, be part of our family, and never really have a family of their own. As they got older, we realized that we needed something special for them, and so we developed the Pamana Project. The Pamana Project is for those children who age out. So we've opened the Pamana Project so that there would be a place for these children to live, aside from the Baha'i Siebel kids. Here they would live, learn to manage their own money, go to college, and while going to college, they would be working. And in doing all of these things, working and studying, they would be gaining the life skills that they need in order to be independent adults. As we enter the next decade, our vision is to keep doing what we're doing now, but better. We will keep opening doors to homes and hearts, keep strengthening families, and keep investing in every child entrusted to us. After 10 years of partnership, we would just like to extend our deepest gratitude to each church, all of the individuals and families, businesses from both here in the Philippines and abroad for standing beside us, walking with us through these 10 years, being a part of the lives of these children, children who you may have never met and you may never meet, but you will know that you have had a part in their lives. And seeing them become the successful adults who are ready, centered within themselves to start their own families, breaking the cycle of trauma that they've come from. We look forward to more adoptions, more foster care. We look forward to seeing our children graduate from college and going on to have successful lives of their own because of your help and your support. Thank you very much, and God bless.
We're among the top five orphanages in the Philippines right now. And if you're thinking about helping a family that is thinking about adoption, ask them to hook up with ICAB, Inter-Country Adoption Board, and they will connect with the NAC, the National Administration for Child Care in the Philippines. We're really close with the NAC. Just tell them you want a child from Baha'i Siebel. Amen. We have a family that just adopted from us, a set of three siblings. They're from Brenham, Texas, just north of Houston. And my wife just visited them last week, amen, and said hello to them. But I really want to encourage you, because an orphanage is a picture of our own adoption. Amen. Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. For the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You and I are children of God because of Jesus Christ adopting us. Think about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How in the world is Jesus Christ called the Everlasting Father when we already have the Eternal Father? There's a difference. Eternal means no beginning and no end. everlasting has a beginning point. And the beginning point of Jesus Christ becoming our Father is when we are adopted by Jesus Christ. It says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." There's only one begotten Son, and that's Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." For us to be placed into God's family, that's why it's called son placing. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." The son placing, you're placed into the family of God. You're adopted by God, amen? And to have a physical orphanage, you're obeying James chapter 1, verse 27. "Pure religion and undefiled in the sight of God our Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world." I really believe God used that verse to just smash my heart. I mean, I just melt to shreds when I saw that last portion of verse 27, "to keep yourself unspotted from the world." I believe there are spots in the love feast, it says in there in the book of Jude, when the rich people during the Lord's Supper, they separated themselves from the poor people. They had their own cliques, and they called that spots in the love feast. You and I have spots if we don't minister to the fatherless and the widows. And that really crushed my heart. So I told my wife in 2014, I said, we need to start an orphanage. And God has blessed us. When I was telling Pastor Brian Stances about Jerry Borisky. Jerry Borisky came and visited us. He answered our Facebook. I haven't talked with him for the last 10 years. But he reached out on Facebook and said, "Brother Carl, I saw your boys' home. Can we build your girls' home?" I said, "Sure." So within 2 months, he was able to raise from 15 churches, big sales. They were able to raise $83,000, and they were able to build that second home. Right? You saw that boys' home. And now we have a church, and we used to live on top of the church. And then now we have an administrative building. We live on top of the administrative building now, but there's room for 16 people to come and visit. So if you want to visit us, pick up a prayer card. You can reach out to us on our website, buysable.org. Not buysable.com. We used to have buysable.com, but we weren't able to renew it on time. So a company in Shanghai, China, that website. They took that website away from us, and they kept the PayPal in there. So they're stealing money. They're keeping the money that way. But we start another website, bahaisibul.org. So also another way of coming to visit us, we have MMO, Medical Mission Outreach out of BIMI. They come visit us. It used to be every year, but now it's every 2 years. You can go to their website, mmo.com, and there's a schedule there when they come to the Philippines. So if you're interested in medical missions, come and visit us that way too, amen? We have jail ministry until COVID hit because they're afraid that it will spread like wildfire because in the prison systems in the Philippines, you can have a room that's about 20 by 20, but you have 40 people in there. So it's very tight space, and their sleeping schedule is stagnated. There'll only be like 12 people to sleep on the beds at a time, and then the next 12 people will sleep. The next 12 people, it's really tough. So they stop our ministry with the jail ministry because in Psalm 7 and 9, verse 11, hear the sighing of the prisoner. Do everything in the power of thy hand to deliver them that are drawn unto death. Hopefully we can restart our jail ministry again. We still have our Bible Institute, and we still have our Christian school. We're going to make our Bible Institute a Bible college. I finished my doctorate degree from BBCC Baptist Bible College Canada and Theological Seminary in Simcoe, Ontario. And I lost three men because we didn't have a Bible college. I can only offer associate degrees at that time. So my three men that I ordained, they went to a different Bible college. Now they don't even use the King James. And it's sad. I don't want that to happen anymore. So we're going to start another Bible college there in the Philippines. So pray with us about that. Open your Bibles with me here in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It's a gift for us to celebrate worship, amen? It's a gift to go to church. Going to church is a joy, amen? It's rightfully said by David when David wrote Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that was a picture of the tabernacle. They didn't even have a temple back then. And it's all the more even fitting for you and I to enjoy church because we have a reason to rejoice, amen? In Psalm 118 and verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. That word rejoice in there is contingent upon the cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. It's talking about the resurrection, amen? When Jesus Christ was rejected, he resurrected anyway. And we have the reason to celebrate worship on Sunday. That's why it's called Sunday, S-O-N day, amen? It's the day of Jesus Christ, amen? We don't worship the sun god, Amun-Ra, amen? We worship the S-O-N God, Jesus Christ. And you and I need to realize this. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We'll pick up the reading here in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Father in heaven, we pray now your blessing upon what we had just read and heard. Guide us, Lord, into the truths of your word. Convict us of our sins, of our failures and shortcomings, and convince us of your righteousness, your holiness, O God, and help us to be more diligent in serving you as we prepare ourselves for the Bema Seat of Christ. Bless now your people here at First Baptist Church of Eden, Ohio. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have in here reason for us to worship God, giving worth. I mean, I was looking at the etymology of the word worship. It's actually two words joined together in Old English, worth and then ship. We have the vessel of our spirit, amen? Our body is a tabernacle. It's a habitation of God. And this tabernacle dwells a very important treasure. We are carrying God himself. God is living inside you and I. Bible says in there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted, after that they heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You and I have the earnest of God. You have the Aravon. You have the deposit of God living inside you. And when we receive Jesus Christ, says it there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. You belong to God now because you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside you. You're owned by God. You're redeemed by God. And God wants you to have reason enough to celebrate worship. It says in there in verse 20, by a new and living way. You don't need a physical building. Amen. Although a physical building is a place that we congregate and assemble ourselves, but the church itself, the habitation of God is you. Amen. We used to have that book, that small booklet, Trail of Blood. The Trail of Blood is very good, informative-wise. I mean, we can be proud of the Baptist heritage, but Lewis Carroll, 15 years after he wrote that small booklet, he became a Church of Christ. And it's sad. I mean, he's talking about being proud of being a Baptist, then he became Church of Christ because of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And that's what he was having problems with. I mean, that verse is there. It says, be careful. I mean, it says in there, let me go back in there. Let's follow that trail in there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed, it says in there. Be careful. And it's sad. Look at that verse. It says in there, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's why he joined the church of God, because he thought that was a denomination. It's not a denomination. It should be capital C if it's a denomination. It's just a proper noun. It's not, this is common noun. It's not a proper noun. It's not capital letters. It's not a denomination. You and I are going to heaven not based on a denomination, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells inside you, and God the Father and God the Son are living inside you as you abide in the Word of God. You and I are the habitation of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21 to 23 says, and they far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then look at chapter 2 in verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God indwells you because the Holy Spirit is inside you. And this is the fullness of the Godhead. This is the fullness of God. The church is the fullness of God. So you should enjoy going to church. Amen? It says in there, let's go back in Hebrews chapter 10 again. There are three things that we need to remember here. And it's all introduced by the phrase, let us. Look at verse 21 and 22. Because we have a great high priest, and this great high priest in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us we are, yet without sin. It's a double negative. We have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. If it's a double negative in there, you take away the negatives. Amen. It becomes, for we have a great high priest which can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities and was in all points tempted like us we are, yet without sin. That high priest is Jesus Christ. This high priest is Lord over us. Let us draw near, therefore, with a true heart at full assurance. Because we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, he's our high priest. Amen. It says in there in John chapter 15 and verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask In my name, he may give it you. We go through the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, he make it intercession for you. You and I are represented by Jesus Christ every time we pray. Let us therefore draw ourselves near unto God with a true heart. Open our hearts every day. God knows our failures. He knows our flaws. All the more, he's there to help you out. Amen. I'm not perfect, neither are you. Amen. But God wants us to purify ourselves daily. It says it there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And yet, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But what we know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He that hath this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. Because you know you'll be like him one day. We'll be just like him one day. Amen. We'll be released from the presence of sin when Jesus Christ returns. And you and I will be just like him. We'll be sinless. But in the meanwhile, let us purify ourselves. You and I are positionally sanctified already. You and I already forgiven, justified by God. But progressively, we had to keep coming to God every day. Amen. Coming to God with scripture. Amen. Cleaning ourselves up. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Amen. Being sanctified and cleansed by the washing of water by the word. You and I come to the Bible to have our shower. Amen. To be cleansed in the washing of water by the word. I mean, I used to go to the province there in the Philippines. My mother is from a province called Pangasinan. Clark Air Base is about 4 hours drive from Pangasinan. But my dad raised us up there. He wanted us to learn the life in the province. And our province didn't have electricity until 1990. So during school break, by March, my dad died in 1976. But when I was first grade, second grade, my dad would send us out. School break in March, I'll spend one month April there in Pangasinan. Then my brother will be spending 1 month in Manila. And then we'll switch around. By May, I'll be back in Manila. Then my brother will be in Pangasinan. I mean, I remember going through trying to get all the cows in. I mean, at nighttime, I'd have this lamp because there's no electricity. And all the snakes would come out at nighttime because the ground that was under scorching heat, that's the hot ground. So the pathway is where the snakes are. So you have to bring out that lantern there and have a stick to ward off the snakes, amen? And the snakes are there to eat all the field mice, the field rats out there. So you have to be very careful. But that lamp can only bring you like 10 feet. Then you keep on walking, another 10 feet of brightness will be shown. And that's what the Bible is, amen? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You don't know what's going to happen at the end, but God wants you to walk through with him, amen? He'll show you what's going to happen next, then what's going to happen next. Just obey God. Obey the scripture. Draw nigh unto God with a pure heart. I mean, confess your sins to God. Keep on walking with the Lord. Bible says in there in the 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, walk in the light as he is in the light, that we might have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. The question there is your fellowship. It's not your relationship. Your relationship is already final. Amen? We believe in eternal security. We don't believe in perseverance of the saints. We believe in the preservation of the saints. I mean, I fight that all the time in the Philippines. Tulip doctrine is spreading like wildfire in the Philippines. I fight it. Why? Because we don't lose salvation. Even the prodigal son made a lot of mistakes, but the father was there to welcome him. The father ran when he saw his prodigal son at the edge of the field. He ran to him. Amen. Then he gave him his robe and put on him the seal of the ring. He's still part of the family. But that's not an excuse to have license for us to fail God all the time. But God is giving us an opening. Confess our sins. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Second of all, let's go back in here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 23. First, we can draw near unto God with a true heart and a pure conscience. Then verse 23, we can discuss God. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful to that promise. Let's be proud of sharing God. When I got saved, December 18, 1985, it was Christmas break. I was actually a Christmas gift by the soul winner that led me to the Lord. He told me, he said, I pray that you'll be my Christmas gift to God. Last time I saw Andrew McLary, he was working for Penske Motors in Mooresville, North Carolina. And he signed my Bible. He wrote down in there 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, increase the fruit of my righteousness, he said. And I'm trying to do my best to increase the fruits of righteousness for Him. Amen. Because you and I, when we lead somebody to the Lord, your works will still follow you wherever you go. Amen. Even as the 144,000 were killed in Revelation chapter 14, it says in there, their works do follow them even after they're gone. Amen. And you and I need to realize we need to discuss God with people. We need to be fluent enough. Profession of our faith in here means to be logical enough to explain our Savior to people. We think about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. There was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was the life of men. The very reason you're still alive, because God ignited that light. When the embryo developed, I mean, when that ova was waiting for that sperm to come in, an ova has polymerase around it. Then when the sperm breaks through, sperm is soaked in interstitial fluid full of zinc. And when zinc ignites the polymerase, it's like an electrical spark. You know what develops first in an embryo? When you have gastrulation, you have one cell becoming two cells, and it becomes four cells, and then eight cells, then 16 cells, and 32, and then 64. The first thing that develops is your spinal cord. Within 24 hours, a brain is being developed. Why? There's an electrical charge. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 1. The Lord is the light of my life. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, as it talks about every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Jesus Christ is the Father of lights. Even your prayers are because of Jesus Christ answering those prayers in your behalf. He's our high priest. Amen. We need to explain Jesus Christ to people. Jesus Christ is the I Am. He's the Yahweh of the Old Testament. He's the I Am in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the I Am. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld this glory, the glories of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth. We to discuss Jesus Christ with people. Lastly, look at verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Coming to church is a delight. Amen. You can provoke one another to be happy. I mean, there's a way it can provoke people to be angry. I mean, I used to be a boxer, street fighter before. I can provoke people for a fight. I have a broken nose from all those street fights. But brothers and sisters, you can provoke people unto love and to good works when you come to church. I mean, you are fire. And in a charcoal pit, you have fires that are separated. Bring back that charcoal, amen? Invite them to come back to the fold. Bring them back to the fold. Invite them to come back to church so that the fires keep on burning hot again. We need to provoke one another to love and to good works. The Bible says in Jude, in verse 20, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. Then verse 21 says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. There, verse 22 talks about, and some having compassion, making a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. This is a double sequence in evangelism. A lot of people forget about verse 22. They jump to verse 23, and others saved with fear. You scared them with hell. Hell is a reality. Hell is right here in the middle of the earth. Amen. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So the center of this planet is an inner core. The inner core is 22,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's zero gravity. You know, this planet cannot have a center core that's has gravity. Otherwise, it will envelop, become imploded into a black hole. The center of our planet is zero gravity. The outer core keeps spinning, and that's what produces our electromagnetic field. It thwarts out all the solar flares from destroying our atmosphere. God designed our planet to be just far away enough where it's not going to be super cold like Mars. But it's not close like Venus and Mercury is going to be too hot. Amen. But one day our sun will have supernova. We're going to the last stages of our sun. I asked Google, how long can our sun last with its hydrogen gas? Our sun, with the density of our sun right now, can only last 10,000 years. When you use the formula for the density of heavenly bodies from Isaac Newton, you can show it there. Our sun is getting close to 8,000 years. And when 8,000 years comes, it becomes a supernova. It'll try to dig out all of its hydrogen gases from the center of our star. And when it does that, it just inflates. It expands into a supernova. God's not mistaken when he said that in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10 and 11. We will melt with like a fervent heat with a great noise. Hell is a reality. We need to give them the fear of God, but at the same time, we need to have compassion. And others move with compassion, making a difference. Feel how people feel. The word compassion there is the Greek word splotnitsomai, to enter in, to feel how people feel. You know how they feel because you were one of them before. People become belligerent, people become vulgar because that's how life is. But we still need to put up with that at the workplace, with our neighbors, but pray for them, amen, keep on praying them in. And just be patient with them and then bring them to the household of faith. God designed you and I, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What purpose? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate, that he might conform us to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants to use you to bring many people into the household of faith. Be that firstborn among many brethren. And then it says at verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. It's a joy to be in the house of God. Father in heaven, bless your people here at First Baptist Church to be. Thank you for the leadership, Lord, of Pastor Andrew Stances and his wife, Sister Jacqueline. Thank you, Lord, for this church being partners with us in the fellowship of the gospel since 1992. We love you, Lord, and we pray for your people here to enjoy church, to draw near to you, Lord, at the same time to discuss the Savior amongst people, at the same time to delight with one another, to provoke one another to love and to good works. Bless now this time and love in Jesus' name. Amen.